Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
So many times people are guilty on fixating on the problem when we need to be concentrating on the solution. I'm not going to preach about this today, but when Jesus came to the woman at the well that had been married five times and now was living with a man that was not her husband, we kind of love to fixate on the fact that she had five husbands and was now living in adultery. But the real essence of that story, it's a story about worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. He said, you're in the situation you're in because you don't know who you worship. Jesus told the woman. But it said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we are very, very strong on the fact that we believe the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, should prevail above everything. And we worship on the basis of that Holy Spirit and upon the truth of God's Word. And when we do that, we can expect anything good to happen, because God is a miracle worker. So if you're in this building today and you have any kind of a need at all, I want to tell you that God is more than able. And if you will forget about the problem, and if you will concentrate on worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, God can deliver you. God can impart to you whatever it is. God is able. I too am glad to have my brother-in-law Don Goodman and my sister Sandy Goodman. And Sandy has literally fought cancer for 20 years, and here she is now cancer-free. It's a miracle. And so if there's anybody here that's battling cancer, or you have got a report of cancer, or you've got cancer in your family and the devil's trying to threaten you with it, I want you to see my sister. She is living proof that God is able when you get the worst reports. But praise God, thank God, that God is able to intervene, and He will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read two portions of Scripture this morning. Psalm 14 and 1, 2 Samuel 3, 33 and 34. Psalm 14 and 1 first. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. 2 Samuel 3:33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. You may be seated. The word fool is used sparingly in the Bible. It does matter what we say. Words are powerful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a false little cliche. The truth is that words are extremely injurious, are extremely edifying. Words are important. And so Jesus warns us of the danger of calling anybody a fool. Mrs. Barbara Bush died and was buried yesterday, and a gentleman by the name of Roger Stone said terrible things about her in the newspaper, terrible things. I would hate to be the person that said those things. Hatred is an ugly thing, and it's not nearly as revealing the target that you send it toward as the person that spews it out. Roger Stone's made $20 million campaigning for Donald Trump and also Democrats. He'll campaign for anybody and say anything against the opponent just to make money. He campaigned for Al Sharpton. $20 million. Friend, it's not worth $20 million for you to become a spewing volcano of hatred. Be careful what you say, because words have an effect, not only to whom you direct them, but most importantly, on you. And so Jesus warns us about that. He said that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rekha, that means worthless, calls your brother worthless, shall in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, which means in this text, in the Greek, immoral, stupid, blockhead. He said, anybody that says, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. It is important what you say. Your words are vitally important. David declared, not one individual, but a generic declaration. David declared that a fool is one that denies the ultimate evident truth, that there is a divine architect, that there is a God. Friend, I am convinced beyond the shadow of any doubt that there is a divine designer, that there is a God that knows all, a God that has been, is, and will be, a God of which there is no beginning and no end. And so then the same David would talk about David or talk about Abner and say, Abner died as a fool died. He didn't say that Abner was a fool. He simply put it as a question. Did Abner die as a fool dies? Why would he pose that question? Simply because Abner did not take advantage of the provision that was available. Abner, the story of Abner is a unique story. It's a story of the fact that he was in a battle. He had an enemy, and in that battle, his name was Asahel. He killed him in self-defense. Asahel had a brother. His brother's name was Joab. And when Abner killed Asahel, he ran to one of the cities of refuge in the Bible. The six cities of refuge were found in both Judah and Israel, and he found one of these cities by the name of Hebron. And he went into Hebron, and the cities of refuge were this. If you get to the cities of refuge, you could not be killed or assaulted until your trial was taken care of, until the courts decided whether you were guilty or whether you were innocent, kind of like sanctuary cities in America today. And so he found himself in Hebron, and there in Hebron he was waiting his trial and what the decision would be. He surely would have been exonerated because his case was one of self-defense. But Joab went to the city limits of Hebron and sent messages into Abner, and I don't know exactly what all he said to him, but he must have been very persuasive, for he was able to persuade Abner to come out of the city of refuge. And when he did, Joab grabbed him, took a knife, and stabbed him to death. And so then David would say, did Abner die as a fool died, with the consequence that he probably did? There are probably no fools under the sound of my voice. They are home in bed today. They're somewhere. They simply don't believe there's a God. They mock God. They deny God. They decry the things of God. They're aggravated. I see it all the time. The taxes, the churches are tax-free, that we have great buildings. There used to be an agnostic, an atheist, that when we went to get the permit for this building, he would not give us the permit because he was an atheist. And he said, why don't you build it on the alley somewhere? We don't want a church on the freeway. But we prevailed. I don't know where the atheist is, but here we are. It's always going to be that way. Atheists tend to fade away, but God's people are forever. So there are probably no fools under the sound of my voice. Scarcely few, if any, watching me. Everybody that's tuned in today, everybody that's come to the house of God today, is a believer that there is a God. Well, that's a great starting place to believe that there is a God. But it's not a cure-all. The Bible said about Satan, even the devil himself believes there's one God and trembles. The greater concern for us today is not that we are fools sitting in this building, because there probably are none. The greater concern is that we would be guilty of abandoning our faith to fall to foolishness. How can that possibly happen to intelligent people? It happens all the time. That we would fail to take advantage of all that God has provided for us. There is no excuse today for not taking advantage of God's provision. God has made a way of escape. Anything that comes against you, there is a remedy. Any problem you face, there is a solution. Any dead end, God will make a way, open a door. And so if we do not avail ourselves to God's remedy for our sickness, then we are acting as foolish people. Doesn't mean that we are fools. It means that we are making foolish decisions. Is there not a balm in Gilead? There is. For every sickness, there is a medicine according to God's word, a spiritual remedy. And so let's talk about three things very quickly that would make us foolish. If we succumb to Satan's attack without offering resistance, then we are foolish. Our resistance is greater than Satan's attack because God is for us. The Bible simply says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So number one, it is a resolute fact. Satan cannot devour you. And if you allow Satan to devour you, that's a foolish decision. I talked about it Wednesday night. The big word in that verse is seeking whom he may devour. That indicates that you have to cooperate. You have to say yes to the enemy of your soul. You have to give the devil permission. We simply don't have to do that. And if we do that, we will be like Abner. We will die as a fool died. David said his feet were not fettered, his hands were not bound, but yet he died as a fool. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the appropriation that God has made for the human family is without any kind of scantness, any kind of smallness. It is large. It is big. It is more than you need. There is no sin so great that God cannot forgive you. No pain that God cannot resolve. No mistake that God cannot fix. And so the devil is a liar when he brings up your past and says it's too late. It's not too late because you are breathing. And the Bible said, everything that hath breath can praise the Lord. And when you praise the Lord, God will inhabit that praise. And when God inhabits something, miracles begin to take place. And so do not let yourself remunerate in the failures of the past and the mistakes of the past and the sins of the past. The devil is a liar. And you don't have to give the devil permission to destroy you and your family. You can right now stand up and say, I declare right now that not only am I a believer in the one true God, but that I am going to replicate the works of God in my life. And what God has done for others, he will do for me. Because God is no respecter of persons. He can take from you your sin and fling it as far from you as the east is from the west. He can take the hyssop of his blood and wipe it on the doorpost of your heart that the death angel will not be able to come, but he will have to pass over. I tell you that God's provision is bountiful in the house of God today. If I were here today, I would not be here as an observer, but I would be here as a participant. I would be one that would throw myself on the mercy of God and drink strongly of the nectar of God's mercy and say, God, I know that you are able. Friend, do not let the devil, Satan himself, to come in because you don't want to die like a fool. Your hands are not bound. Your feet are not fettered. It's time to applaud the Lord. It's time to walk after God. It's time to get in the city of refuge. And it doesn't matter who or what is chasing you. God will give you safety and shelter in the time of need. Can somebody give God praise in this house today? And so the devourer comes, but God said in Malachi 3:11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Friend, I am no capable foe of the devil. but I want to tell you that my God is. And He will rebuke the devourer. When I call upon the name of the Lord, He puts me in the strong tower. And while I watch from the tower, my God fights my battles. All I have to do is give God the glory and the praise. Exalt Him. The enemy will come against you one way, but he will be scattered and leave from you seven ways. There is a God that is able. And praise God, I feel that Holy God of Israel in San Antonio, Texas, in Living Way Church right now. Somebody that's depressed, somebody that's under attack, somebody that's under threat by the rebuker of all men, I want you to realize that God is in this building and is waiting for you to give Him permission. Give the devil no place, but give God every place. Make a place for the Lord in your life. And when you praise God, you're making a place for the Lord to come. One by one translation, a Chinese translation says that God sets His chair right in the middle of the praise of His people. If you want God's glory to come to your house, it doesn't matter about the devil, for he is an inferior, defeated foe, and God is able. Friend, I know you're not a fool, but you don't want to die like a fool. You want to die full of the glory of the Lord. The Bible said about Joseph that he died leaning on the staff of the Lord, praising God. Friend, that's exactly the way I want to die. I intend not to compromise in my last days, but I intend to be like Caleb. I intend to be as strong as the end as I was at the beginning. I'm not going to die like a fool. I'm not going to let the devil entice me out of the city of refuge. There's nothing he can say. You see, the devil will try to scare you out of Hebron. The devil will try to entice you out of Hebron. Just anything to get you out of the city of refuge where he can attack you. But ladies and gentlemen, my feet are planted on the rock. My determination is strong. My mind is resolute. I have made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord all of my days. And I don't care, young or old. I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I want to praise God my best in my latter years. I want to preach my best in my latter years. I've lived for God too long to die like a fool. I make not the compromises of my generation. I believe the God that was is the God that is. I believe what it took 50 years ago, it still takes today. I believe we have to get back to God's Word. We still have to be people of praise. I don't believe there's many ways to the Father. There's one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. I refuse to die like a fool. I'm going to die shouting, praise God. I'm going to die praising God. I'm going to die with my eye on the prize. Can somebody say hallelujah in God's house? The Bible declares no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. Satan cannot devour you. He is a liar. He's a bluffer. He threatens. He roars. He yells. He does all kinds of things, but the truth is that Satan cannot devour you. He can't lay his finger on you unless you give him permission. You need to rise up and say, hell, you have absolutely no authority over me. And devil, you can't do anything because there is around me a hedge. There is before me a shield of faith. There is on me an anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the name of Jesus dispels every attack of the enemy. Can you give God praise in this house today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So number one, we don't have to die like a fool because Satan cannot devour us. Number two, we don't have to die like a fool because no man can forbid us. The Bible teaches us in Acts 10:47, when the church was primarily Jewish and there was a lot of racism in the church, And those who are Jewish said Gentiles are dogs and they can't become a part of God's church. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. It took the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to make a testimony against the Jews who was trying to make the church a racial issue, that only Jews could be in the church. And while Peter yet spake these words, he preached things he had never learned, things he had never heard, and possibly things he never believed. Because all of a sudden he said, God is no respecter of person. That flew in the face of all Judaism. It was everything the Jews did not believe. But when he said, God is no respecter of persons, God rolled back the heavens. He threw down the Holy Spirit. It came into Cornelius' household like a voice of many waters, like a wind blowing from a far coast. And all of a sudden, these Jews saw the Gentiles being filled with the Holy Ghost. They were flabbergasted. I've watched it all of my life, that certain people wanted certain people saved. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't die for certain people. He died for all people. He died for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. This is not the possession of the Baptist or the Methodist or the Pentecostal or the Catholic. It's whosoever will. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Don't let any man deny you the provision of God. You'll live and die like a fool if you don't realize that the fountain of David is open, whereby any man can plunge up. Though his sins be as scarlet, praise God, they become white as snow. And Jesus himself declares you saved and presents you to the Father. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the priest says. It doesn't matter what the denomination says. This thing called the grace of God, the power of God's Holy Spirit, is not franchised by a denomination. It doesn't belong to one group. There's not one person that holds the copyright. It's for everybody that would be saved. It's for everybody that's killed somebody that wants to run to a city of refuge. It's for everybody that will run to Hebron. It's for anybody that will call upon that name. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the level of your education. It doesn't matter the absence of your financial strength. It doesn't matter who your mama was. It doesn't matter about your past sins. Today is the day of salvation. And now is the time. You need to stand up and say, I refuse to die like a fool. Joab, you're not ever going to stab me. Hebron was the name. Hebron means the place of friendship. How many people have died in the place called friendship? You've got to be very careful about those that you let around you. And anybody that tries to get you out of God's church, anybody that tries to get you away from God's word, anybody that tries to stifle your praise and your worship, they might be called the friend and a place of friendship, but friend, they've got one goal in mind, and that is destroy you. I've had so many people that have come against me in so many ways, but I'm not crossing the line. I know what I did, and I know that's only the grace of God that purchased me, and so I'm not getting out of the city of refuge. I'm staying in the city of God's grace, in the power of God's Holy Spirit. I'm not gonna die like a fool. I've lived right. I've lived and been blessed. And I'm gonna die in strength because the Lord is the captain of my salvation. Can you give him praise? And so when the Holy Spirit fell on the household of Cornelius, the Jews were very upset. Friend, a person that is upset because somebody they don't prefer gets saved is diabolical. I preached in a church in Louisiana. This man was supposed to be a great prophet. I preached on the radio, an all-white church. People listen to me preach on the radio. African-American people begin to come. That pastor held a meeting with them, and he said, if you don't tithe right now, you're not welcome in this church. That was simply a ruse because he did not want black people in his church. That's diabolical. That's demonic. You'll go to hell with that kind of an attitude. The heart of Jesus Christ is everybody. He loves us all the same. I don't know what your bias is or what your prejudice is, but if you've got one, you better get it out of your heart and put it under your feet and stomp it to shreds, because God is no respecter of persons. And if you are, you don't belong to God's family, because God sees us as one and the same. And the Jews had this problem. We only want the Jews. And Peter stood up and said, hey, what are you going to do now? You've seen them receive the Holy Ghost the same as we have. They have spoken in tongues. The glory of God has filled them. And so what the Jews were saying, they cannot be baptized into Christ in water because they're Gentiles and not Jews. And Peter said, wait just a minute. God has filled them with the Holy Spirit. Can any man forbid water? Can many men forbid baptism? It's a principle, not just for water baptism. It's a principle that runs its thread through the entire garment of the church, that no good thing will God withhold. Don't let anybody tell you that God's blessing is not for you. I've heard him preach for years all across this country in different denominations, and one by one they eliminate the benefits of God. Some say the Holy Ghost is not for you today. That's a lie. The Holy Spirit is for all people that believe on Jesus Christ. Some will tell you that healing is not for you. That's a lie. God hates disease and sickness, and he wants to heal you. They will tell you that it's not God's will for you to prosper. That's a lie. I'm not going to let any man forbid me of any good thing, because I've met God face to face. Jesus Christ has revealed him to me, and I found a different God than religion preachers. I found a God that's good all the time. I found a God that loves me in my uprisings and my down sittings. I found a God that forgives me at my worst and loves me regardless. I found a God that said no man can forbid the things of God. Somebody would try to put you in hell. Somebody would try to kick you out of the church. But the Bible said, let no man forbid you the things of God. God's glory belongs to you. God's joy belongs to you. God's peace belongs to you. God's power belongs to you. God's liberty belongs to you, and you need to celebrate it. And friend, if we do not take in stock an advantage of God's provision, then we, like Abner, are going to die like fools. We just don't need to do that. Our hands are not bound and our feet are not in fetters. Somebody tells you can't worship God, you're in the wrong church. I heard about a woman that was praising God in a denominational church, and all of a sudden two big ushers came and got her, one on either side. And as they was carrying her out, she began to laugh. They said, what are you laughing about, lady? She said, I was just thinking, said Jesus came to town on the back of one jackass, and I've been being carried out by two. Friend, I'm going to tell you that God wants the church of the living God to be free. Have you been redeemed? Let the redeemed sit down and shut up, religion says. But the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Friend, if you've been saved, you ought to be free to worship Almighty God. Let no man restrain you. Let no person constrain you. Let no man forbid you. The glory of God is great and gracious, and it's here today. I don't care what it is you need. God is here. The table is loaded. The altar is full. And God says to whosoever will, come and get it. I died on the cross that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had people pronounce judgment on me and dismiss me, but I'm still standing. I'm still here. Why? Because there's a promise in God's word that says, no man shall pluck me out. My hands are not bound. My feet are not fettered. I am not going to succumb to Joab's sword. I'm going to live in the land of freedom and protection in Jesus' name. And nobody can pluck you out. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that it doesn't matter if somebody gets mad at you, you're still saved. If somebody doesn't like you, you're still going to heaven. If somebody decides you're the wrong kind, or the wrong gender, or the wrong color, or the wrong anything, you're still in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. That ought to put a praise on your lips, and a joy on your heart. It ought to put a dance in your feet, a clap in your hands, because the Lord is on your side. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And number three, we need not die as a fool died, because not only can Satan not devour us, and not only because man cannot stop us, number three is the big one. God will not reject us. Not any of us in this building come to the Lord worthy in our own self, but we come to the Lord in faith, and that faith is not wasted. Jesus said in John 8:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hebrews 4:14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest which is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I don't know about you, but I have no intention, desire, or ability to plead my own case. It's been said that a lawyer that has himself for a client is a fool. I'm not my own counselor. I'm not my own lawyer. I don't intend to stand before God and try to represent myself and plead my case. There are some things that I've done that there simply is no explanation for, is except I acted foolishly at the moment. I made a mistake. I committed a sin. There is no explanation for that. There's a little difference in my doctrine than some people, because some people believe that every person is going to stand before the white throne judgment and give an account of every word and every deed that they spoke. If they did, you're going to lose your case. You're simply not going to do that. I believe that we that come to Christ, that are buried with him in his name, that rise in the newness of his life, that are filled with the power of his Holy Spirit. I don't believe that we appear at the white throne judgment as culprits, but we are only there as witnesses to watch the fairness of God. The truth is, there's another place for us. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And it's there we go. And the only ones that are there are the ones that wear his name, that are covered by his blood, filled with his spirit, and have been judged years ago as innocent. The Bible said some men's sins go before them and others follow after them. I'm asking you today, have your sins already gone before you? The song said it this way, there was an old account standing for sins yet unforgiven, but that old account was settled long ago. Friend, I want to tell you that my sins have already been dealt with. And when I show up in heaven, it's not to give a reckoning, because Christ has already nailed all of my sins and ordinances against me to his cross and appeared to God the Father Father and said, he is innocent in my name. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have this assurance that Satan cannot devour me, that man cannot set upon me to hurt me, and that God will not reject me, because I'm not coming and saying, you know, I built a church in San Antonio and I pastored for a good number of years and I gave so many dollars, because all of that would come up short. I'm coming with one thing on my lips, and that name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, and he walks these aisles today. Friend, I would ask somebody in this building that's going through hell on earth to get out of your pew. I'm not quite through preaching, but you can do it now if you want to, and say, Satan is trying his very best to devour me, but I'm not going to let him. Some men are trying to stop me, but I'm not going to let them. But I'm coming to God, because God will in no ways cast me out or reject me. Would you stand with me in the name of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not one single fool in this building. Every one of us believe in God. But we would be fools if we knew we had money in the bank and we allowed ourselves to be imprisoned because we owed a bill that we thought we couldn't pay. That would be a foolish action. And friend, if you're living in a way that is not victorious after what you know about Jesus Christ, it is absolute foolishness, because God has rebuked the devourer. He has held back your enemy and made a table in the presence of your enemies. And he has reconciled you with the Father. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. Come and receive what the Lord has prepared for you. Baptism is not a terrifying experience. It's an appropriation of the Lord. And I cherish my moment that I was baptized into Jesus Christ in the water. Repentance is not a horrible experience. It was a glorious day, an appropriation where Jesus said, shed it, get rid of it, throw it away. I read somewhere where somebody said, no matter how many times a snake sheds its skin, it's still a snake. But friend, I didn't just shed my skin. The Bible said if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. I'm no longer a snake. I'm now made in the image of Almighty God. He's appropriated a nature change for you. You said, well, my daddy was a violent man, and I'm a violent man. My daddy was abusive to me. I'm abusive to my children. I'm abusive to my wife. My daddy was that way. My mother was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. You can go back if you want to and trace your DNA back through your family tree. But praise God, I run my DNA all back to a tree at Golgotha, and when I did, I found out I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from that day to this, I've been a new man. I'm born again. I'm filled with God's Spirit. His joy is joy unspeakable. In his presence there is fullness of pleasure. And praise God, his mercy is fresh every morning, and his peace passeth understanding. He's made those appropriations for me. And a friend, if you come to this church, not all the time, but just one time, and you do not accept the gifts that Christ offers you, you will die foolishly. Abner had no need to die. He was safe in the city of Hebron, but he allowed himself to be enticed out by Joab that murdered him. I watch people today. Friend, I have so many stories I can share with you. People that were my peers, shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm. And today their lives are just tragic. I said to Becky the other day, I said, I guess this is a bad characteristic. But I said, my greatest strength comes from looking around me at all the people that have fallen. Because a lot of these people were not fools. They were intelligent. They were major. They were spiritual. They were something at one time. And now I see them. and their lives are just a mess. Some of them are already dead, but many of them, their lives are just a mess. And when I look at that, I don't even want to stand close to the city line of Hebron. I want to get way off in the middle of the town where Joab can't even find me. I'm not about to leave God's church. It's been so good to me. God has given me his best appropriation. I hear a lot of condemnation from other people. They want to tell me why I'm not saved. They want to tell me what I need to do. In all camps, they want to tell me how it's a shame that I drive a nice car and wear nice clothes. It's a shame I've got a bank account. It's a shame that I eat whatever I want to eat. Don't have to get up every morning worrying about where the next dollar's coming from. They condemn me for that. But praise God, that's just one more condemnation I reject. Because what I am and what I have has not happened because of this flesh, but in spite of this flesh. It happened because Jesus Christ died. And friend, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, my sins were paid for. I appropriated that when I came to Christ. That's the reason why I find something in the Bible, I want to obey it, because it opens up a brand new treasure in my life. Becky is singing, I'm through. If you're in this building right now, and you say, well, I know there's a God, and I'm fine.